And they're off. Horse racing fans around the world, they're all going to be watching the Belmont Stakes on Saturday to see whether Smarty Jones can capture the sport's elusive Triple Crown. He would be the first horse to win the crown since affirmed in 1978. Among those watching will be Slate's Megan O'Rourke, whose fascination with horses began a lot earlier than it does for most kids.
I was an 8-year-old horse racing junkie. My father used to like to tell his friends, and later, embarrassingly, my friends, that I could read the daily racing form before I'd learned to read. Like most of his stories, this was exaggerated for effect, but it wasn't far off the mark. I spent much of lower school taking notes about my favorite horses, Devil's Bag, Lady Secret, Ferdinand, and their chances in upcoming stakes races like the Wood Memorial. And, of course, I went to the track with my parents. When I was 10, after reading William Knack's excellent biography of Secretariat, it became apparent to me that my calling in life was to be a horse trainer. I began a regimen. I woke early, because trainers woke early. I ate only Raisin Bran for breakfast, because horses ate bran mash. I got a stopwatch. Needless to say, it was a pretty lonely infatuation. The girls I knew were divided into two groups, those who loved dogs and those who loved horses. But horses meant show horses. Racehorses were seedy, another thing altogether. One day, a friend told me she thought it was sad that the horses were forced to race, which horrified me. She'd missed the point. The best racehorses weren't just fast, they were game. But because I lived in New York City, and my parents were struggling schoolteachers at the time, I never learned to ride. And it could be that I fell in love with racehorses precisely because I couldn't have any other kind of horse in my life. But I think it had to do with something else, a model of ambition, the other great American pastime, and a concrete way of deciphering it. Horse racing made the whole unruly world seem manageable. A fifth of a second equaled a length, a mile was made up of 8 furlongs. When you looked at a horse's bloodlines, you could determine where his burst of speed at the 16th pole came from. There was also something endlessly beautiful and breathtaking about how swiftly the horses storm up the stretch, how much effort is expended, and how fast it is over. Of course, today's cautious parenting columnists would probably hold that a racetrack is not a suitable place for an 8-year-old, but at the time I didn't notice that many of my fellow enthusiasts were ragged around the edges. When I did, I was old enough so that this made a kind of sense. Of course someone who was old or terribly alone or a drunk would come to the track, where every half hour there was the chance of something amazing. Even if that day's winners were more like also-rans, there was the pageantry to keep you going. I remember the end of my enchantment with racing well. It came while watching the 1990 Breeders' Cup. That was the year Gopher Wand broke down in the stretch, right in front of where I sat with my family. I seem to remember she led the race most of the way and was fighting off a late challenge when she took a bad step. She stumbled and fell hard, and then, wildly, got up. Only something had gone terribly wrong. On her next stride, her foreleg went down and bent the wrong way. She picked it up, and it flopped back and forth. Someone caught her reins, and within what seemed like minutes the track vet had put her down. It was one of the most awful things I've ever seen. I haven't gone to the track much since Gopher Wand's breakdown. In a way, that was the moment I learned you couldn't always decipher things, that you couldn't always make sense of them. But I still like to wear a T-shirt with Easygoer's name on it when I go running. It makes me feel faster than I am.
Megan O'Rourke is culture editor at Slate Magazine Online.